This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
And the Dagoba Group, a global diversity and inclusion consulting practice with specialties in unconscious bias, leadership dynamics, and client engagement. Authors of the book, The Inclusion Dividend. More at thedagobagroup.com.
And from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Issuing driver's licenses has long been up to the states, but after the September 11th terrorist attacks, the state's work in this area came under harsh scrutiny. That's because several of the 9/11 hijackers were able to board those planes using driver's licenses they'd obtained easily and even fraudulently. And so in 2005, Congress passed the Real ID Act, aimed at a more trustworthy and secure licensing system. Since then, it's been up to the states to make this happen, and while some have not. And in that latter group, New Hampshire, among the longstanding concerns here about Real ID, are privacy, states' rights, database security, and the cost of making our licenses Real ID compliant. But now the federal Homeland Security Department says it's waited long enough, granted enough extensions, and these IDs will soon be required for entering federal buildings, military bases, and getting on an airplane. So New Hampshire House lawmakers recently came up with an approach they hope will satisfy everyone, a bill called HB 1616. Today in The Exchange, the return of Real ID, what the Granite State's doing and how it might play out. Let's hear from you. Your questions and comments are welcome at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests in studio. With us is State Representative Sherman Packard of Londonderry, lead sponsor of the bill I mentioned, HB 1616. He's a member of the House Transportation Committee and Speaker Pro Tem. And Representative Packard, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us, Joel Winters, former state representative from Manchester, who sponsored a bill that passed in 2007 to have New Hampshire opt out of the Real ID program. And Joel Winters, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
And also with us, State Representative Steve Shurtleff of Penacook, House Democratic leader and a former U.S. Marshal. And Representative Shurtleff, good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, I want to start with you, Representative Shurtleff. What's the difference between a regular driver's license and a Real ID compliant driver's license?
Well, what we have now is there's less information on it than that it's required by the federal government. And probably Sherman would be better to speak to this because he's really led the work in the House to get us into compliance. There's information on a strip on the back of the license that Real ID requires. It provides more information about the individual, Social Security, and other identifiers, which makes it the driver able to board a plane with less intrusion. And for those that opt out and do not wish that information, it's not enough to satisfy the federal government's requirements.
And we'll definitely talk about this idea of opt-in, opt-out, because that's the basis of your bill, Representative Packard. But just to you too, please, so what is really the big difference between the regular driver's license that I have now from the state of New Hampshire and a quote-unquote Real ID license?
Okay. What is happening is as of January 1st, the Department of Safety entered into a new contract to have our driver's licenses made. And right now, you have two security features on your driver's license. The new licenses, whether we go into this program or not, will have three security features, okay, which will comply with Real ID. To make anyone compliant with Real ID, right now, if in the state of New Hampshire, there's a checkoff box where you could have your Social Security number taken out of the system after you get your license, and you can have your picture removed from the system after you get your license.
Under state law.
Under state law. To get a Real ID license, seeing that the new license will comply with Real ID, So whether we enter into the real ID system or not, everybody is still going to have that new license that has the three security features on it. So the only thing that we need to complete our requirements from the federal government is that you agree to have your Social Security number and your picture remain in the system. That's it.
In the DMV database.
In the DMV database. Currently, 3% of the population has had their picture removed from the system. That's it. So 97% of the people have said, I'm not worried about my picture remaining in the system. The only 8 to 9% have had their Social Security number removed from the system. So over 90% of the people have said, I'm not concerned about it. That's what will be required for you to get a real ID license. If you choose not to get a real ID license, then the license will say not, I'm not sure the exact wording, but it will say something as to the effect of not federally compliant or something of that nature.
So for most people, you're saying, Representative Packard, it's not that big a shift. They're already doing it.
They're already doing it.
They're already.
I mean, their Social Security number, you have to supply your Social Security number and your picture when you get a new license. You know, if you came from another state or, you know, you get your first license, this is information you have to supply anyways. You know, through the years, we have allowed those two to be, removed from the system. But as the numbers show, it's been very small that have had their picture or their Social Security number removed from the system. So if they're already there and sitting in the system, all you have to do is, your real ID license, I say, has the new security features in them. So I just don't see what the problem is.
What do you think the problem is, Joe Winters?
Well, thank you for the question. I'm here because I do oppose House Bill 1616. New Hampshire declared 10 years ago that we would not go along with real ID because it really sets the stage for a national ID card. And there's no objection to secure driver's licenses and making sure that whoever's name and picture is on that ID card is actually that person. And New Hampshire's always done a great job with that. But the concern is by going along with real ID and sharing all this information with all the other states that it opens up the door for a national ID card system.
And what's the problem with a national ID card?
The problem with a national ID card is it's an invitation for abuse of authority. The Real ID Act gives the Department of Homeland Security, it gives them the ability to require real ID for all sorts of purposes that don't have to be approved by Congress. And, these are unelected officials. And that power should rest with our elected representatives.
Give us a for instance or a little more detail, Joel Winters, on the abuse of authority that you are concerned could happen if we did have sort of a national ID card.
Sure. I don't have the actual language in front of me, but they could require a national ID card to vote. They could require a national ID card to open a bank account, to travel on a train, to cross borders, to enter national parks. There's a lot of ways that this could be abused.
Well, and pretty soon you will need one of these real IDs to get on a plane, not a train, but a plane.
That's what they say, but they've been saying this for an awful long time. And it's not just New Hampshire that isn't going along with the Federal Real ID Act. There's also New York and Montana and Louisiana, more than 25 million people who live in these states that are not participating in the Real ID Act. And the idea that they're going to tell these 25 million people when they get to the airport that, sorry, you can't board a plane, that's just really, it doesn't make sense. That's not going to happen.
I looked at the Department of Homeland Security website this morning, and they said they were pretty specific about voting, that this will not be required to vote. It will not be required to get into national parks like the Smithsonian Institution and so forth. But you're saying, Joel Winters, that could change tomorrow.
It could change tomorrow because the Real ID Act gives authority for that to happen.
To the Homeland Security Department.
To Homeland Security, yes.
Go ahead, Steve Sherlock.
Yeah, I just want to say I think Joel did an excellent job of telling us what may happen, but I think both Sherman and myself could better describe what will happen if we don't get real ID. Homeland Security has been very kind to New Hampshire and given us several extensions. Now they're saying no more. Come June, you're not going to get on a plane without an intrusive search unless you have a real ID or a passport. And to require someone to pay $110 for a passport, I think, is ridiculous.
And getting a passport is time-consuming.
Absolutely.
As well.
We had an incident, I was told, by the governor's office recently in Washington, where an executive of BAE went to the Department of Defense to hear about a proposed contract. And to get the briefing on the contract, they had to go to another room, which was secure. And to go into that room, you had to show your driver's license. And this took place after October 15th, and the individual was told, sorry, you can't come in. Your New Hampshire license doesn't comply with real ID, and we can't admit you.
So we're already seeing the impact of it. So that's very practical, sort of on the ground. How do you philosophically feel about that BAE executive being barred from the room because he didn't have a compliant license?
Well, I can understand the Department of Defense especially, where they were one of the buildings attacked in 9/11. And we know this came out of the Keene Commission, the 911 Commission, the bipartisan commission that studied the causes of 9/11 and the attack on the United States. And so I can understand the Department of Defense especially being concerned about security and wanting everybody to be in compliance. So we can see now that it's having an impact on New Hampshire commerce.
Did you want to jump into Representative Packard?
Yeah, I do. I do need to make some clarifications. First of all, this does not in any way, shape, or form create a national database. All the information that you supply the state stays in the state. It is not shared on a broad platform with the federal government or any other state. We have three systems in place right now where information can be obtained. That information, and I can't remember all the acronyms for the things, but it's if you lose your license for DWI or habitual offender, then that goes into a database. Okay, they also have the CBLIS system, which is for commercial driver's licenses, and then they have the law enforcement system where a police officer can get information if they stop you on the side of the road for something. That's it. We're looking at what we call a new program state to state, which is modeled after CBLIS. That database from New Hampshire is not shared with any other state. The database is on a case-by-case basis only, the same as CBLIS is, the same as DPP. I can't remember the exact name.
A lot of federal and state acronyms involved, yeah.
But it's still on a case-by-case basis.
If you raise concerns
about law enforcement. This does not create a national database in any way, shape, or form. We have been absolutely given that guarantee by Homeland Security. They were up here in July. We spent 2.5-3 hours with them, and we've gotten further confirmation from them. We were given the extension after we met with them in July for 6 months. As Representative Shirtless said, what the consequences are if we do not allow people. And what I want to make perfectly clear to everybody, my bill does not require anybody to get a real ID license. It's completely opt-in. So if you choose not to get a real ID license, you'll get your same license as you have been. But it will be say that it's not federally compliant.
So you won't be able to board a plane, go into a military facility?
You won't be able to get into certain buildings, as has happened. And I also talked to Senator Susie from Manchester, and she was down in Washington, and her license wasn't good enough. And I can't remember which building she wanted to go into, but she did have her passport with her. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to get into the building. So this is already happening. To board an airplane, you'll have to have two forms of identification, and you'll have to go through an extra security screening. Now, we've been told by Homeland Security that that might be 15 minutes in Manchester. It could be 2, 3 to 4 hours in Chicago or Atlanta or something like this. And the other problem is let's say you want to go visit your new grandchild in California, and you go to get on the airplane, and they say, well, you haven't got the proper identification, and now you have to go through all this. Do we really want to put our citizens through that when we're giving them an option? That's all we're doing is giving them the option of entering into a program that's already into effect. Now, you know, Joel said that, well, 25 million people. Well, initially, almost half the states said, you know, we're not going to participate in Real ID. We're down to four states right now that aren't participating in Real ID. And we're working towards it, and as many of the other 23, 24 states are working towards implementation, they're in different stages of it right now. They've been given the extension, and we will be given a further extension until October 2020 when the final deadline set into place if we pass this bill and we move forward. But what people have to understand, this is completely optional. And let's put it in real perspective. Less than 45% of the population has a passport. At least that's the estimate, you know, that we've been given. So assuming that we take New Hampshire at the same statistics, that means around 700,000 people in New Hampshire do not have passports. So now we're saying to those 700,000 people that might want to get on a plane, might want to enter a federal building, yeah, guess what? Because we don't have a real ID in New Hampshire, an optional real ID in New Hampshire, you're going to have to go through all this other whatever just to board an airplane or enter a federal building or something of that nature. And I'm sorry, some of the paranoia that I hear coming out of this, I just think is completely overblown. And I will say, at the beginning, I was absolutely against Real ID. I still think it's bad. Not that we have secure driver's license, but I think it was an overreach of the federal government. I still believe that. But I think I'm a realist enough to realize that I'm not going to put 700,000 of our citizens at risk of not being able to freely move around without, at least giving them the option of doing having a real ID license.
I want to ask all of you about this idea of a federal database. I can see, Joel Winters, you want to jump in, too. But let's go to our listeners as well. They've got questions and comments to share. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We're taking your questions and comments about Real ID and New Hampshire's moves toward this. And, gentlemen, let's go to Nashua first, where Melissa's on the line. Hi, Melissa. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We are a family of four, and we just obtained our four passports because our understanding was that, just as your guest said, that our licenses did not participate in the program. Therefore, my understanding was we couldn't fly domestically without a passport. It cost us, for a family of four, $480
Wow.
to get our passport. We have a household income about $150,000, so this was inconvenient, but certainly something we could afford. So my question to the panel is, for there's definitely plenty of New Hampshire families who this would be a very, very large inconvenience and big expense for them with much lower income. So my question to your panel is, for those that are against this Real ID, I absolutely agree with the individual talking about it being an option, that it should be an option, because $480 for a family of four could just not be affordable for some individuals.
Well, sure. And Melissa, sometimes you need to fly at the last minute, and nobody gets a passport at the last minute. It takes some time. Real quick to you, Joel Winters. I'd love to hear from you on this.
Well, I guess this is a good example of some of the scare tactics that are being used and trying to convince us that we should opt back into Real ID. And Representative Packard used this example of a family of four wanting to fly and having to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get passports. But minors aren't required to show ID to get on a plane, as I think the representative knows. So the kids aren't going to have to buy passports. There's not that expense. And I lost my train of thought.
That's okay, because there's the music, and we're heading into a short break. We'll pick it up in just a moment. And keep taking your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We'll be right back.
The
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking once again at Real ID. After a decade, New Hampshire lawmakers have figured out a way to comply with the federal Real ID program. We're finding out more and talking about some of the issues surrounding this. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us with your practical or philosophical questions and comments. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Joel Winters is here, former state representative from Manchester. When he was in the legislature, he sponsored a bill that passed in 2007 to have New Hampshire opt out of a Real ID. Also with us, State Representative Steve Shurtleff of Penacook, House Democratic leader, a former U.S. Marshal, and Republican State Representative Sherm Packard is also here of Londonderry, lead sponsor of the bill we're talking about, HB 1616. He's member of the House Transportation Committee and Speaker Pro Tem. One more time, the exchange number is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And all of you, just before the break, we took a call from Melissa in Nashua, who said she spent almost $500 getting her family outfitted with passports, saying it wasn't too much of a financial hardship for her. But Joel Winters, she was saying, look, for other people, this would be a financial hardship. And it takes, you know, time and hassle. So go ahead. I know you want to jump in there.
Well, and again, I don't believe that. I believe they're bluffing. They're not going to tell New Hampshire citizens that they can't fly without a Real ID compliant.
When you say they, you mean the TSA
That's
agents.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. But I guess what I have a issue with is this viewpoint that it'll be New Hampshire's fault if that were to happen. You know, if her kids, Melissa's kids, got beat up by a bully on the schoolyard because they wouldn't turn over their lunch money, you wouldn't blame the kids and said, well, you should have gone along with the bully. It's the bully's fault. And so if TSA is really threatening our citizens and threatening to inconvenience them, then it's TSA is the bully, not the New Hampshire legislature. It's not our job to go along.
Let me ask you a philosophical question on that, Joel. As you know, 9/11, you know, terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And those hijackers, some of them did pretty easily get U.S. driver's licenses. You know, I can't remember which state it was. How do you enhance security, if not through better driver's licenses like that?
Well, I have no objection to secure driver's licenses. My objection is to saying that the federal government can set state standards and enforce them. And my objection is to their threatening to bully our citizens.
Well, I guess they felt like the states were doing, you know, sort of a sloppy job and that 9/11 was the prime example of that.
Well, and even before 9/11, there were discussions among the states about how to improve standards. And some things in the Real ID Act were just common sense, like saying if somebody was here on a 3-year visa, you shouldn't give them a driver's license good for 5 years. Those are common sense things that I think states are happy to go along with.
So what would you envision that would make our driver's licensing system more secure that don't amount to this level that you feel is federal intrusion? What sort of alternative ideas do you have?
Well, New Hampshire does a really good job. One of the things that we do, of course, is we mail your driver's license to you as opposed to just handing it to you at the DMV. And that way it catches people who've given fraudulent information. And that's why New Hampshire has always had one of the best and most secure driver's licenses in the country.
So even if New Hampshire is doing a stellar job, A+ for New Hampshire, what about other states that aren't doing as good a job? We're all kind of in this country together. So, you know, if another state, I don't know, Minnesota or whatever, is doing a really sloppy job, are we vulnerable to that sloppy Minnesota system? And I'm just pulling that out of the air, by the way. No knocks on Minnesota here.
Are we vulnerable? I mean, Laura, really, terrorism is a pretty small probability of anything happen on any given flight. You think of the hundreds of millions of people who fly around this country every month, every year, and nothing goes wrong. It's very safe and secure. So this is really an overreaction to say that we're going to somehow be completely safe if only we put this national ID card system into place.
What do you think, Steve Shurtleff, again, drawing on your experience as a former U.S. Marshal, there are those who say, you know, look, if somebody really wants to do harm, he or she is going to find a way to do it. And these types of systems just inconvenience law-abiding people who aren't going to – would never dream of doing an act like this in the first place.
Well, I think we've seen tighter security at airports since the terrible tragedy on 9/11. And since that time, we haven't had a domestic hijacking of a plane. So I think what is being done so far is good, and sadly, it's the times we're living in. I take exception somewhat to what Joel's comment about the federal government trying to scare or bully New Hampshire. I think it's a reality. Like I said, it came out of the Keene Commission, the bipartisan commission that studied this whole issue as a recommendation. And it is not the fault of the people of New Hampshire if we don't come into compliance with 911 and the Real ID. It is the fault of the legislature. We have the obligation to give the people of New Hampshire the option of saying, I want Real ID, I want to be able to go into a federal building or board a plane with less intrusion. And if I don't want it, then I have the option to opt out. So I think it's a legislature's responsibility to do what we feel is the right thing to, for the citizens we represent and to give them the option to comply with the federal law.
Now, you originally, Representative Shurtleff, had wanted a bill, correct me if I'm wrong, that would require everybody to play into this system. Is that right?
The amendment I introduced on the floor was an opt-out amendment. Currently, under the law, the bill is passed. It's opt-in. So as Representative Packett said at the opening, we already have this in effect, a motor vehicle. New drivers are required to give their photo and their social security number. If you don't want that retained by motor vehicle, you simply check off a box and say, no, I opt out. That's the current procedure. We feel it's what they're already doing. And it'd be a lot simpler for those who are getting their license for the first time or getting the Real ID to comply. I worry about the individual who gets a license and said, well, do you want to opt in to Real ID? And they may say, well, I guess not. And then realize they've got to go on a flight for a funeral or go to a federal building to check on Social Security or some other issue and realize their license is not in compliance.
So you had hoped to make it, when I go to the DMV to get my license, I'm automatically a part of this unless I specifically say, no, I choose not to.
Right, which is the current procedure.
Okay, so it's a little confusing. So, Representative Packard, yeah, under your bill, when I go to the DMV, just walk me through step by step. This sort of opt-in, opt-out is a little tricky.
Well, In fact, I met with the commissioner yesterday afternoon and the director of motor vehicles, and we talked quite extensively about this. And, you know, they're obviously going to have to be responsible for informing the citizens, you know, when they're either renewing their license or they're getting a new license, you know, of the availability of opting in or of not opting in.
So this will require DMV workers to put in some extra time there.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be any extra time once they get the system set up. I mean, you know, it's just going to have to be up to people, you know, to make sure that they understand it. And I think it's, you know, fairly simple. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science, you know, that we're asking people to do here. We're asking them, you know, if you don't opt in, this is the consequences. If you choose to opt in, you know, this the only thing you have to do is leave your Social Security number and your picture in the system, which again is over 90% in both cases. But going back to the to the lady in Nashua, you know, I brought this up to the floor. Like I said, 700,000 people approximately probably don't have it.
Bringing
down that number to a realistic number, we figured maybe 250,000 might be flying. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people will never fly in their life. A lot of people will never go out of the country or maybe not have a need. So I just kind of rounded it off to 250,000. If we look at 250,000 people that don't want to be inconvenienced, this is New Hampshire citizens, that don't want to be inconvenienced, depending on how quickly they might need a passport, you're looking at $25 to $30 million that we're putting a tax on the citizens of New Hampshire just because we're not going to give them the option of opting in. And again, this is not a national ID card. It is a New Hampshire driver's license. It's each driver's license is issued by the state. It's not issued by the federal government. It's a New Hampshire driver's license. It's not a national ID. It's not a national database. Everything is controlled by the state of New Hampshire, the same as it is now.
We have seen with national databases like the Office of Personnel Management, for example, and, you know, Target. I mean, there have been breaches upon breaches upon breaches. I myself have been caught up in a couple of them. So how do you ensure that it stays in New Hampshire? I mean, we all have the best and highest hopes, but we've all seen these cracks in our database systems.
Well, I'm not paranoid enough to believe that our federal government is going to hack into the New Hampshire database. Now, are the Russians or the Chinese going to hack into our database? Well, they've hacked into the Pentagon. They've acted into that administrative one, which I think you were a part of, Steve. So they've got all of us, you know, Representative Shirtless information because they, what, 11 million people they hacked into. So, I mean, could that happen with, you know, a foreign country? You know, I mean, I think we need to be realistic. I don't believe our federal government is going to hack into our database, okay? But could some other foreign power do it? Probably could if they can hack into the Pentagon.
Let's go to our listeners, see what they think, and then we have a lot more to talk about. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. And in Concord, Christy is on the air. Hi, Christy. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead, Christy.
I have a question. I currently have my mailing address listed on my license. I have, unfortunately, had an issue with an ex-fiancé stalking me, showing up wherever he could find me. I feel safer not having my physical address on my license. However, this act, I believe, if I'm correct, requires me to have my physical address on my license, and I hand that to 100 people in a month. So anybody could write down where I live and show up.
Yeah, Christine, I'm sorry to hear about your situation. Do you want to talk about that, Representative Packard? We've talked about Social Security numbers and photos. What about home addresses? From what I've read, Real ID says your home address needs to be printed on your license, whereas New Hampshire law says no, it doesn't need to.
I can't give you an honest answer for that right now. We have talked about so many other things concerning Real ID. That's actually one subject that has not been brought up. I don't have an answer for you right now.
Sure.
I mean, I'd certainly like to I'd certainly get that answer for the lady, but I don't have an honest answer right now.
Okay, well, and Joel.
I have read the Real ID Act a number of times, and I believe the caller is correct that the Real ID Act requires her physical home address to be printed on a Real ID compliant card. And in New Hampshire, of course, we give people the option of putting their mailing address. That's what I have on my driver's license.
A P.O. box or something.
A P.O. box, right, because I hand my driver's license to, you know, the teller at the bank and the guy at the gas station and all over the place. And I can hear her concern that if she's a single woman living alone, maybe she doesn't want to tell everyone where she lives.
Do you want to jump in, Representative Shirtliff?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear about the problem with her being stalked, and I hope she's talked to a local police about getting a restraining order against the individual who's harassing her. The other thing I'd point out, then, this may be one circumstance where she may want to opt out of Real ID and get a passport if she wants to travel or needs to travel or go into a federal building just for her own security.
Okay. Well, Christy, good luck to you. And let's take another call.
Yeah,
oh, sure. Go ahead.
Just jump in for a minute. And this was an interesting subject that was brought up on passport. I recently got a passport. If you go to get a passport, the information that you have to give get a passport, if you've gotten one, is about three times what you'd have to do to get a Real ID compliant license. And guess where all that information is stored?
Federal government.
At the federal government.
Right. But at least, like Christy's asking, yeah, she has to show her license
I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're worried about a federal database, you're probably not going to get a passport.
Well, it's a lot more information on your passport than that you have to give them. And that's all stored. You don't have the option of taking that out of the system.
Let's take another call. And Dennis is from Hopkinton. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead. You're in the exchange.
Hey there. Listening to the conversation, two quick points. One is, I'm a director of software engineering at the largest database company in the world. We have a presence in New Hampshire. And I can tell you that there is only one way to make a database with personally identifiable data and make it completely unhackable. And that is, you don't make one in the first place. And that's why some of us don't have our addresses in that database. People elect representatives assuming that they have a certain wisdom, and those representatives have a certain responsibility to understand their history. At this point, I would say it is ignorant beyond what is acceptable. Post Snowden. 4 or 5 years ago, you could make statements about the federal government promising to keep your data secure. Post-Snowden, if you make that statement and you believe it, I hear two Neville Chamberlains in the room.
So we're all kind of crossing our fingers when we say we can keep it secure. How do you feel about Real ID, Dennis?
It's fairly obvious. I believe that our elected representatives, you know, why do we have state representatives if the federal government just tells them what laws to enact? I believe that they have a responsibility for those people who would just say, oh, geez, yeah, make it easy for me, make it easy for me to fly. They have a responsibility to stand up now when we don't face such mortal danger, when the people who would do us harm have their mitts on a database of every single one of our personal information. It is not about where our government is right now. As the Netherlands learned back some, you know, 60, 70 years ago, if you don't make that database, it cannot be used against you. Please don't make a gun for someone to steal from us and use against us.
Thank you very much for calling in, Dennis. What do you think, Joel?
You know, there was a great line in the floor debate on this bill last week. I forget which representative who paraphrased our state's motto and said, live free or die, inconvenience is not the worst of all evils. And I think I agree with some of what Dennis had to say, that it's our responsibility as representatives to stand for New Hampshire values, not to just enact legislation that the federal government tells us to. And for 10 years, we've drawn that line in the sand and said, we will not comply with Real ID. That's not what New Hampshire stands for. And I'm disappointed that some people are considering erasing that line in the sand or stepping over it.
So if those folks want to fly and the federal government says, sorry, then what do you do? It's hard to take a train to California. It's sort of the philosophical and the practical. That's what's so interesting about this.
Well, people have the way to opt in now if they want. I told my boss yesterday, I said I wasn't going to be in because I was going to be on the show. And I told him a little about Real ID. And he said, I don't care, because he signed up for the TSA's pre-program. He's opted in. He gets through security a lot quicker than the average person with or without a Real ID compliant license. So he's already made that choice to opt in. He as an individual can do that. We as a state, I believe, should set the policy that we're not going to go along with this federal mandate. And that's been our policy for 10 years. I don't think it should change.
Dennis, I'm glad you called because it does raise this philosophical question. Why have state lawmakers, Representative Shurtleff, if you're just going to do what the feds say?
Well, I'm not here to say we have peace in our time, but I am here to say that both myself and Representative Packard do have tremendous respect for the people of New Hampshire to send us to the legislature. And we think it's their choice to make. And that's what we're giving them. We're giving them a choice. You to tell motor vehicle what you want to do. Do you want to opt in to Real ID and be able to fly with less intrusion? Or do you want to say, no, I don't want to take part in Real ID. I'll get a passport or I just won't fly. That's the option of the people of New Hampshire. As Sherm has mentioned, the database will be kept here in New Hampshire. It's not a federal database. It's a state database.
Although, as Dennis says, any database is hackable.
That we all agree to, but it's not, as Dennis said, a federal database. And as I said, it's the respect we have for the people that elected us, so we're giving them this option. We would be derelict if we said, no, a federal government, we're not going to give the people of New Hampshire a chance to get Real ID. That would be a dereliction of our duties as state representatives.
How many people, I know you can't give me a hard number, but how many people do you think, Representative Shurtleff, are going to opt out or going to say, no, I don't like the idea of sharing my information?
Well, I think Sherman has already given us numbers on the opt-in. And right now, under the current program at Motor Vehicle, it's 3% on their photographs. It's 8 to 9% on Social Security number. So I could see maybe 10 or 15% of the state population would say, no, I don't want Real ID.
All right. A lot more questions and comments after a short break. Yeah, go ahead, Representative Packard.
Jump in. First of all, he was saying not to create the database. Well, guess what? The database is already created. Because if you have a New Hampshire driver's license, all that information is already sitting there. And it's been sitting there. You know, your address and everything else.
Hold on, Representative Packard. We're going to a break. I will definitely let you jump in just a second. Thanks, Dennis, for the call. We'll be back in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a look at how New Hampshire hopes to comply with the Real ID program from the federal government, with deadlines approaching for Granite Staters to have these Real ID compliant driver's licenses. Give us a call with your questions and comments, 1-800 892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Representative Packard, I do apologize. I had to cut you off before the break there. Go ahead and finish up your point, please.
Okay. The last gentleman just called. He said, don't create the database. Well, the database is already created. If you have a New Hampshire driver's license, your name, your address, all that's already in the system. The only thing that you can remove from the system is your Social Security number and your picture. Guess what? Everything else stays in the database in Concord. It's already there. So we're not creating any new database. And under my legislation, if you still wish to have your Social Security number and your picture removed from the system after you get your driver's license, you may. It's just that your license will say non-compliant for federal purposes. We're not creating a new database. We're not creating a federal database. We're not creating a national ID. I don't know how many times I have to try and say that to make people understand that, you know, this, all the paranoia isn't going to happen.
Joel Winters, you know, commercial outfits, you know, Google Maps, Google Earth, hundreds and thousands of, you know, apps and companies and so forth that have ways for those companies to track you down, find out where you are, find out what you do, maybe find out how much you make, you know, whatever. That capability is out there in such it's so extensive compared to what we had after 9/11, where things were a lot more limited. I mean, almost 15 years ago. So to some extent, are the concerns about Big Brother, well, have they been replaced by concerns about, you know, big companies? And maybe the horse is already out of the barn here.
People should be concerned about those things. If they're not and they don't realize how much information Google, for example, is collecting on them, it's really scary and it's really creepy. But Representative Packard is correct that this bill doesn't create a national database. And Real ID has never created a national database. Just in the same way that the World Wide Web isn't stored on one big computer somewhere. It's a whole series of computers and they all talk to each other. And that's how the network is where the database is all stored in different computers. So what we're looking at participating in here is setting up a state-to-state exchange of information. So if you move to Virginia, for example, and Virginia wants to know if you already have a driver's license somewhere, they're going to query a database that's going to be set up by the, I forget the acronym, but it's the Department of Motor Vehicle Administrators Association or something like that. And they will have a file that keeps track of all the information that's in the state databases. Sort of the same way if you go to the library and you want to check out a book that your library doesn't have. The library has access to the databases of the other libraries. They don't have the text of the book, but they have the author, they have the title of the book, they have other information easily accessible.
So if I move from New Hampshire to Virginia, you're saying Virginia can sort of tap into New Hampshire's database and say, hey, New Hampshire, tell us about this Laura Canoy and whether she still has a driver's license.
Correct. They're not – right. They're going to ask the state-to-state database, what information do you have about Laura Canoy? Here's her date of birth. Here's her Social Security number. And that database will point to New Hampshire and say, ah, New Hampshire has this record. And then if you've opted in under House Bill 1616, then they would get access to your photo and your Social Security number and other information that we're storing.
And why shouldn't my new state of residence in this hypothetical example, Virginia, have that information? Because I shouldn't be allowed to have both a Virginia and a New Hampshire's driver's license.
Of course not. But that's the concern is that we're creating a new network and a new system of connecting all this data. And Representative Packard, again, is correct that the federal government isn't going to hack into this. Because they don't have to. They can simply subpoena the records of this private organization and get copies of all that information the way they've done with phone companies and other records.
Do you want to jump in, Representative Shurtleff?
Well, I was just going to say privacy is such a big issue in our country. And as we heard earlier this morning on NPR, a federal judge in California issued an order to Apple to allow for the San Bernardino and the FBI to get into the cell phone of the shooters in that tragedy in California. And now it looks like Apple's going to fight that, maybe go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So privacy is always a big issue. It's always a big issue in the New Hampshire House. And we're very cognizant of that. And we were very aware of that when we came up with this bill for the Real ID. And I think we try to institute safeguards, and I compliment Representative Packett for the work he did on this to allow our citizens to have that option of not being part of Real ID. But if you want it, you can. And we always give up a little bit of privacy, I think, for security, and it's such a gray area.
Let's take another
first,
call.
If I can just jump in for a minute. The state to state, it's the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators is who will be it's not a clearinghouse. If you move to Virginia and you want to get a license, you being an honest citizen would give them your old license, and then they would just cancel the New Hampshire license. What state to state, one of the things that they're trying to do with state to state, now they can already do it with one of the systems in place, that if you have your driver's license suspended, there's already a system in place where Virginia or Montana or California can ping that system and find out if you have had your license suspended or not. That's already available. It's been available for 30 years, and I haven't seen it abused. And, you know, Representative Shurtleff being in law enforcement can law enforcement now, if they stop you in California while you're driving, they have ability to, through a process of finding out if your actual New Hampshire license is the, you know, a legal license, and if you're under any kind of investigation or stuff like this. That's already available. The only – in state to state, they cannot get into our system. They have to say, okay, is Representative Shurtleff have a driver's license in New Hampshire? If the answer is yes, then New Hampshire answers back on a case-by-case basis. They do not have access to our whole system.
So they can't just willy-nilly examine
Absolutely
the whole system?
Not. No.
They have reason to, you know, ask no. about Representative Shurtleff.
Yes, they can. You know. They do not have access under the state-to-state by accessing our whole system.
Go ahead.
They don't have it. It's not. That's not the way it's being set up.
We have a lot of people who want to jump in. Let's go back to them. And Deb is in Milford. Hi, Deb, you're in the exchange. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good topic. I guess my question or statement is really directed to Joel, and that I personally resent the fact that you are trying to overstep your bounds as a representative in blocking my ability to make my own decision. That is what New Hampshire is all about. And I applaud us at least moving forward trying to make this happen so that I as an individual have the right to make my own decision. You're concerned about the federal government, you're concerned about everything, but you're actually stepping on my rights.
How so, Deb? Stepping on your rights to what?
Blocking the fact that I couldn't get Real ID. He does not support the bill that's going to allow me to make a decision for Real ID.
Okay. Deb, thank you for calling in. Go ahead. And by the way, we should say that you're no longer in the legislature, former state rep from Manchester.
Former state rep.
Yeah.
And this isn't my opinion. This has been New Hampshire law for, you know, coming up on 10 years that we've said we wouldn't participate. But Deb absolutely does have the right to make a choice. We talked about the TSA's pre-program, getting a passport, going through extra screening. There are a number of options that are available to her, but it's up to the legislature to decide what is the best policy for our state and what is best for the privacy of our citizens overall. And I think keeping us out of Real ID, which has been our policy for 10 years, is still the best one.
Let's take another one. Deb, thank you for that. Rick is in Manchester. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, my concern is about how this will affect voting. We know, I mean, from historical things, that the various states restrict votings for the disenfranchised, and that it's difficult for the disenfranchised at times to obtain identification. So is this going to restrict everybody's ability to vote, especially when, you know, gerrymandering goes on? Many states try to restrict voting. I mean, they even try to restrict recounts of the ballots. So I was wondering, you know, how would this protect people's right to vote, you know,
okay.
without inflicting any, you know, too much restringent on their ability to vote?
Sure. A big issue on people's minds right after the primary. And from what I understand, Representative Packard, this does not have anything
this
to do with voting.
Absolutely. Absolutely nothing to do with voting. This doesn't even come close. It has nothing to do with voting. The voting laws in the state of New Hampshire are a complete separate entity. And, you know, whether we go to Real ID or we don't go to Real ID, it has absolutely nothing to do with voting.
So Real ID or regular old-fashioned New Hampshire driver's license.
Nothing to do with it.
Same as ever.
And it certainly isn't going to impede anybody from voting.
Okay, let's take another call. Thank you for that one. And Tom is in Rumney. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the exchange. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make the comment that on the larger perspective here that I find the government's interest in pushing this very disingenuous. In that, you know, our Border Patrol has been told to stand down. We have news reports on a regular basis of people coming across our borders, including people with Muslim paraphernalia. And I don't mean this to be racist or anything, but, you know, the Korans and the prayer rugs and all that, finding them on the border. So we know we've got people coming into the country who are going to cause us harm, but they're making a big deal about us flying around within our own country. And I just really question what the real purpose of this is, given the federal government's genuine lack of security in terms of protecting us from the outside.
So focus more on the borders and less on internal movement of folks, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go down to an airport with a bomb and a satchel, leave it in the main area where everybody is. You don't even have to go through security. And we're going to see eventually see things happen like whatever happened over in Beslan and other places, you know, with schools and stuff. So I think this whole issue is kind of a red herring in a way.
Tom, thank you for calling in. What do you think, Representative Shurtleff? You know, focus more on security at the borders than the internal movements of folks just, you know, getting on a plane to go see grandma.
Well, I think we all agree that we need border security, in that respect, I agree with Tom. I think in some areas, I think he went a little bit beyond the pale. But we know when the terrible tragedy happened on September 11th, the attack on the Twin Towers and the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, those individuals were in this country legally. And this is what we're talking about today, is making sure that people that are getting on planes have gone through a screening. And we're not, if Tom is saying people are coming into the country illegally, those illegal people are not boarding a plane and doing harm to our country or our citizens.
What about groups, Representative Shurtleff, that advocate for immigrants in this country? I read that there was some pushback from those groups about Real ID, people having to provide, you know, all sorts of extra information.
Well, I think there's been pushback on the left and on the right to Real ID. And I think if people have a real complaint about this, they should be taking it up with our congressional delegation. What we are doing is in compliance with federal law. And if there's a problem with the whole concept, then you should look to try to get the law changed in D.C. All we're doing in New Hampshire is trying to make it easier for our people and our folks in New Hampshire to board a plane and go into a federal building.
Let's take one more if we could. Richard is joining us from Guilford. Hi, Richard. Go ahead. You're in the exchange. Welcome.
Hi. I equate the resistance to this for us trying to feel safe and have the right to opt into Real ID to the legislator blocking the PDMP prescription drug monitoring program. After 400 people died last year, we finally figured out maybe the reason that we were not going to do the prescription drug monitoring weren't really genuine or applicable. And maybe people are going to get hurt because someone's going to be in this country freely moving around that we're afraid of our rights not, allowing that person to be found. I want to know who I'm sitting next to, that they belong here. And that makes me and my family feel safe. And I should have the option to be in the program if I choose.
So we have a knee-jerk reaction to privacy here in the Granite State? Is that what you're saying, Richard?
Yes, I think there's a blocking of based upon the sharing of data people then potentially getting hurt, just like we didn't allow the prescription drug monitoring program for so long in this state. Almost every other state had it, and people in this state were dying in front of our legislatures, and for some reason they couldn't see that this is a good thing for doctors to be able to have. And I equate this to that. I want my kids to be safe when they're out there. that there isn't all these drugs on the street, then I want to feel safe when I get on a plane or go someplace. And I should have the right to be able to say it's okay for me to opt into this program.
Richard, thank you for calling in. In the interest of time, I'm going to cut you off there. I do apologize. What do you think, Representative Winters, you know, this sort of overboard reaction, in his words, causes us to be less safe? He wants the right to feel like, as he put it, the person sitting next to me on the airplane has been vetted.
Everybody wants to feel safe and secure. There's nothing wrong with that. The prescription drug monitoring legislation, I think, maybe is a bad example, because I think there's some evidence that we've seen this spike in deaths, because as we've kept people from getting prescriptions, they're going on to more dangerous drugs like heroin that they can get without a prescription. And maybe that's the new database has, in fact, led to or contributed to this spike.
Well, let's set that one aside, because we've done a bazillion shows on that, and we will in the future. But I appreciate that he likes the analogy and you don't. But what about his broader point that, you know, he wants to feel more safe and secure and wants the right to have this available to him?
And there's a number of ways that he can opt in. But the best policy for New Hampshire is to stay as a state. We won't participate. And if there's listeners out there who feel this way, there's a Facebook page. If you want to share more of your information with Facebook, you can look for No Real ID House Bill 1616 and get more information there.
And last question for you, Representative Packard. So what's the next step on your bill? HB 1616 passed the House, right?
It's passed the House. It's in the Senate right now. And we've actually been working on an amendment to make sure that our information isn't captured by anybody else or
a national database.
I mean, you know, that's already part of the bill. But I just want to reiterate two things I need to do. First of all, if people do not want this, then it's the federal government that has to make the changes. All we're trying to do is to give our citizens the option of not being severely inconvenienced in many occasions. I myself have been to Washington numerous times fighting Real ID, and I would continue to do that. But the federal government has to make the change so we can make the change. Right now, all we're trying to do is give our citizens a fair and free option.
Okay.
That's it.
And I got to cut you off there, and I do apologize. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.